who are obviously bound in different ways, how are we going to respond to them? We're going to think that's too messy. That's too complicated. You know, we don't really want to, you know, get involved in that. Or are we going to say, actually, this person is created in the image of God? Jesus loves this person, and therefore we're called to love them too. And we're called to help them to come into a place of freedom and hope. That was Jesus' ministry. The third thing I want to say is that it was a miracle. Just let me read from verse 15. It says, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. The miracle was that when Jesus set them free, he was free indeed. So when the people came to see what all the commotion was about, they saw this man who'd been bound. They saw this man who'd been in chains and who'd cut himself and was in all kinds of issues and problems. They saw him sitting there at peace and totally calm. They saw him fully clothed. And they couldn't believe it. But then there was a final thing that happened in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. You can understand that. He wants to go. He wants to be free, doesn't he? He wants to follow Jesus, the one who set him free. In verse 19, it says, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. That's not a temple or something like that. That's a region of different towns and villages. But the issue was that Jesus didn't want him to come with him, but he was commissioning him. He was sending him back to his family, to his friends, to that whole region to tell people what God had done for him. And this was the man's story in a nutshell. He said, I was a madman. But then I met the God-man Jesus, and now become a new man in Christ. And you know, that's the story of each of us, maybe. Maybe we never see ourselves as a madman, but to be honest, anyone who rejects Jesus, I think is a bit crazy. Or anyone who tries to live life without Jesus is a bit crazy. They may not realize it. Anyone who thinks they can live life without God, who thinks they can live life in their own strength, with their own wisdom, is deluded. And they're bound, but just in more subtle ways. Every single one of us in this room, if you're following Jesus, you've got a story to tell. You've got a testimony that God has given to you. And the amazing thing is we're all different. We're all unique. So we all have a different story to tell. And that's a good thing. It's a positive thing. I wonder what your story is. I wonder when the last time you shared it. I've asked Chung if she would come and share her story with us this morning. So, Chung, if you'd like to come up, there's some small group notes for those who need it. I'm just going to pray for her. Thank you, Chung. Let's just stick your hand out and pray for Chung. Father, I just want to thank you for Chung. Lord, I thank you for a willingness to step out and share her story with us this morning. And I pray for an anointing from heaven for her. Lord, I pray for peace, I pray for joy, I pray for clarity. And I pray your blessing upon her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Some of you know my name, Jung, J-U-N-G. And others may know me as a guitar player. I'm a mom to Eugene, my son, who is 14 years old, and Milo, my dog, 2 years old. I joined this church a year ago, and I have been a member since last October. It is really positively overwhelming to stand in front of many people and tell my story. I remember the moment that when Johnny invited me to share my testimony on Sunday worship, replied like Moses, you know, refusing to God's call. No, I can't, you know, I can't say, or I'm not good at speaking, or, you know, I had a perfect reason that I'm not good at speaking in public, especially in English. However, spontaneously, I had to say yes to Johnny because the reason was God changed my life as water turned into wine. So I have to share the story of how Jesus led me to overcome the breakage in my life and how Jesus became my only influence in my life. This is what I want to share with you today. First of all, I'd like to transport you to on top of the French mountain where I laid helplessly after falling down badly whilst I was skiing. The moment I hit the ice bump, I knew that terrible thing happened. Time really slowed down for that moment, and I thought, in slow moving action like movie, I am dying. When people gathered near me to help, I could sense that some of my bones, except these ones, are all broken. But I was really happy and somehow very relieved that my mind was ever so clear. But worries began to fill my mind. As a single mother, because I had a marriage breakdown, my first breakage, working full-time in a city and managing the daily many jobs on my own. And I was thinking, what would I become of me and Eugene? On the mountain, I said to myself, looking at the very stormy and snowy sky, I said, if God is out there, I have given up. You have won. I cannot do anything now, but please save my spirit at least. Upon saying this, a sudden eerie feeling of peace came over me. And also a particular Korean worship song came up to my mind, one which that I kept humming repeatedly. I sang it louder and louder as there was no helicopter available due to stormy weather and rescuers began to put me in a basket stretcher to put me down by skiing bit by bit, almost over 2 hours. Surgeries and time in crutches for so long, and it continued. And I remember recovery was very, very slow. Amazing thing was that just 1 week before that accident happened, I had accepted Jesus in prayer, just out of politeness of the mother of Eugene's friend's mom, Eugene's friend's mom, invited me to do so. And also, the song I had sang on the mountain was encountered at the same woman's church service. I think God's timing was amazing, that he had given me that song just to be with me. During the recovery, my church family looked after me and treated me with special care. The church minister visited me often to teach me the Bible. And I can say that during this time that my journey of faith really began. And that same year, in winter of 2012, I was baptized. Yet even after the baptism, I had so many issues to deal with. Even though the Bible said new wine is poured into a new wineskin. I was, however, going through a dark tunnel, and I was too weak physically. I was still blaming my ex-husband, and I was just blaming God secretly and quietly as just to why he put me this such a trial. After a long day at work and sending my son to sleep, and darkest thoughts always appeared in my head. Why do I have to do this all on my own? I've done nothing wrong. But I still hated my ex-husband. I was still very angry at him. And also, I was very disappointed with my own parents, who were not very supportive. Even at work, I had to give up a promotion due to my physical weakness. And I tried very hard to forgive people around me. I tried because the Bible says so, but I could not do it. I couldn't forgive people. It wasn't really easy, but I kept struggling like that, just like that, about two more years, and up and down, and up and down, up and down, 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 up, 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 just like a guitar strum. No one could help me, ideally. I started to pray and prayed not to hate people and not to look upon things as a burden. Now, looking back the time, I think that God only wanted me to look for Jesus. One night, whilst I was praying, I could see all my bad moments. At the time, I was 35, I think, that I could see that all my life, that I lied to my parents, I did something wrong and everything. I remember all that little things that I've done wrong, which I could not be proud of, and realized big time that I am a real sinner. And at the same time that I realized the reason why it was very hard for me to forgive others, because I was a big sinner. Now, how come a big sinner like me can forgive other sinners? Theoretically, that is impossible. I knew that somehow I had to cry out to God that night to forgive my real sin. I know that nobody is perfect, but my real sin was disbelief in Jesus. I did not fully believe Jesus' story that he died for my sin. And I did not fully believe his resurrection story. And furthermore, I did not believe Bible. That was my biggest sin. God waited me patiently to confess my disbelief. And just after, momentarily, I knew that I was really forgiven by God due to my humble confession that Jesus died for my sin. I still remember the moment. I cried out. I really cried like a child. You know, looking for parents, looking for father, you know, just the moment I really cried like a child. And all my questions and the need to know why this happened, why, so many things that I had a question about the Bible, and the question has just vaporized. Then I realized that my first breakage that I hid in my heart deep down was healed. And just believing Jesus, all my bitterness became sweet. So I mentioned that first and second breakage in my life. There was third moment is coming. Third breaking moment. I gained my strength back, and I was performing better at work, and I had a chance to move my work base to Hong Kong. And I almost became a workaholic again to get that chance. But I broke my left foot again. Left foot. On one Sunday afternoon, just walking back from church, just a little bit tilted like that, and it broke. No one could believe that I broke my leg like that. I said again to God, I give up. I give up again. Hence, I had to finally give up my stable work, and whilst I was walking wounded with the crutches, my church pastor recommended me to study theology. She introduced me to someone who had studied at Spurgeon's, and she even printed it out, the application form for me. And at the time, her suggestion seemed so huge and so unreal. And it was too big challenge for me to achieve, even though I had a passion to learn more about God. The application form on my desk stayed over 1 month. But one night, I suddenly got up and just filled it in and sent it over the next day. Since then, my full-time study for 3 years at Spurgeon began, but it was really painful and tearful because I had to write essays in English on so many subjects. But it was very joyful. I was physically weak, but I had enjoyed studying God's words with a bunch of classmates who wanted to follow Jesus passionately and who were willing to serve people. Most of the time, I could not understand the big words 100% in class, but God's grace was enough to touch my heart. I was not the best student there, but I was one of the best listeners with a mute mode, but crying in the corner, simply experiencing many moments of God's revelation. Luckily, I just graduated last summer with God's grace. Hooray. even though there's a fourth breaking moment is coming. After graduation, I did not want to go back to a normal job to make a living, as I knew that I needed a lot of training and experience in being with people. And I thought it might be a good idea to apply for a London City missionary job. Whilst I was waiting for the result, the savings were really dwindling, really getting low. I was becoming a little frustrated, as I had never experienced this problem. One Sunday, however, during the worship time, I remember I was really, really worrying about my finance. And suddenly, Kate, Johnny's wife, just came up to the front, and she read a Bible verse, Isaiah 55. Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, and hear me, that your soul may live. I will make everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. When I heard that Bible verse, I could not stop crying, because I knew that God was giving me the right words, not to fear. And I was again reminded about the covenant that he had made through Jesus Christ. Shortly after, in December, I received two envelopes. Money was in it. I didn't expect it. from two of my separate friends, two of my Christian friends, without any reason. They didn't explain me much or anything. They just said it. They had to give it to me. But I knew that God is trying to telling me that He is the one providing me. Amazing, wasn't it? This January, one of my friends asked me to work for her company, and I thought that it would be a good idea to do a small job whilst I was waiting for the result from the city missionary application. After working there, only one day I worked there, but towards the end, I complained a lot about having too much work for such a little pay. And I decided to quit the next day. I woke up so early, somehow, strangely, the next day, next morning. I knew that Holy Spirit was not happy with my decision. And led my prayer to see the people who worked there. I remembered the verse in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. I felt that Jesus had a compassion on them. So my prayer began like this. Forgive my hasty decision due to my weakness that I still love money and a good title to be recognized. I could not see the lost souls that you've shown me. Sorry, Father. New Malden is also a part of Greater London, and you are paying me to do the work. Thank you. You gave me the perfect city mission job. Through prayer, I made a strategic plan to evangelize wisely at work. I planned, I buy a nice lunch individually for them to listen to the gospel. Anyway, they have to sit down until they finish their lunch. So I have a perfect 1 hour to share my story before and after Christ. I don't know whether they could digest their food or not, but I had a really good time. 1 hour was enough. The outcome was amazing so far that God led me to the troubled ones who definitely need God's love. Firstly, I have shared my broken story and how wonderfully my life became joyful in trusting Jesus. A few of my work colleagues have ended up visiting this church or other church, but this is not my ultimate goal. I keep praying for Holy Spirit lead them to meet the resurrected and living Jesus personally. Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is amazing promise. I'm very happy and joyful that I can proclaim God's glory to people who I work with. So far, I have boasted about my relationship breakage and my body fractures and my more weakness in loving money and loving title and troubles. And also you have heard how God changed the bitterness and sadness within me to forgiving and overcoming and gaining strength and loving ones. Just like the Bible states, Jesus changes water into wine. I believe that my journey is about turning to and following Jesus. My training and journey continues into a full contribution to Jesus' story, not my story. It is not about me, but Jesus. God changed me last 7 years from an anti-Christian who chased worldly success to an evangelist at work. Quite dramatic, isn't it? I cannot wait to see God's transforming power for more upcoming breakdowns in my life. Even though I haven't got much, I haven't got much now. I have no wealth and no health. But I'm still joyful in Christ. Like Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. Thank you for listening.
Well done. Thank you. Fantastic. I asked Ching just to share that because over the last 12 months or so, just got to know her and just heard her story in different parts. And thank you for your honesty and, yeah, sharing some personal stuff there. But that's the power of the gospel, the power to change. And each of us have got a story to tell. And it'll be different, but it's just as powerful. And I just want to encourage us to get excited about sharing that story and sharing our story with those we meet. Amen.